Welcome everybody to another episode of the Haunted Vermont. I know I've been slacking, but here we are once again, and here we're going to talk about an interesting little topic. We got another filmmaker here from Barrie, Vermont, and his name is Austin, and we are also here with the casting director and actress, and the casting director is Candace, and the actress is Mia. Which, if anybody had read the online article about Rutland Herald, well, let's just say Rutland Herald had a nice little quotation about what happened to her in one particular moment regarding the Wilson Castle. But we'll settle down for a minute and let the flow of the conversation go on, and I'm just gonna shut the hell up now. Anyway, so Austin. You know, you reached out to me, I know at first when we were first talking, they're like, yeah, I don't know, because, you know, I feel like Haunted Vermont would be more for, like, you know, ghost tales, and, like, filmed is kind of touchy, because it was like, oh, this is more like a mystery cool thing, but it's cool that it's Wilson Castle, but you guys had ghost stories, so I'm like, all right, I'm in, let's do this. So, Austin, I want to first start with you, because, so you're a filmmaker from Barrie. What made you even want to start filming your own stuff? Because I know from what I was reading from your Indiegogo and from what you sent me with the article is that this project, the Red Raven Kiss, is going to be started off as like a short, but you eventually hope to make it into a full length. So talk to us about your experience of what made you want to dive into filmmaking.
Sure. Yeah, so yeah, that's kind of going a little ways back. But filmmaking for me has always been an extension for storytelling. For me, a lot of directors got early into filmmaking by a parent, a dad or mom, putting a camera in their hand or taking them constantly to the movie theater. That wasn't really necessarily my background with it. Growing up, we didn't have many theaters like anywhere close by where we lived, and where we lived was out in the middle of nowhere in Vermont, which has kind of led to my love of Vermont. While a lot of filmmakers like to leave the states and go to the more popular areas, Vermont has always been a home of mine, so I've always tried to make films themed around this beautiful state. But of course, it's not like anywhere close to Hollywood in any capacity. But where I grew up, there wasn't cable, no theaters nearby. We didn't have movie cameras or anything like that. But because I grew up homeschooled, and because we didn't have video games or anything at that time, even though I'm not super old or anything, but we didn't have video games back then. So I entertained my sister and I through storytelling, because we weren't in school, like a traditional school setting, as long as most kids would be in like an 8-hour shift or whatever. So we would spend a couple hours at home doing work with our mother, who was our teacher. And then the rest of the time would be me trying to entertain my sister through different kinds of storytelling. And going up through middle school and high school, I was trying different things. Different ways to express storytelling through comic books. Even though I wasn't very good at drawing, I liked to write and draw little comics, or just orally telling stories, or eventually getting really into Dungeons & Dragons, which is a story-based game. But in high school, I found my niche, which was crafting stories for different class projects. Instead of doing like a poster or anything like that, which I was getting sick of, I would do a little short film or a music video. So that's how I got into filmmaking. And even just through college, just learning more about film and the art of storytelling. And right now, I also teach mythology and screenwriting. But yeah, thank you very much for having us on the show, Paul. And while this movie that we're talking about today, The Red Raven's Kiss, isn't necessarily a supernatural film, we do kind of play off that a little bit, as we have a gothic horror murder mystery slasher film. So while it's more set in the real world, based on our location that you mentioned before, Wilson Castle, we kind of play with the idea of, could there be supernatural elements to this film or not? But yeah, that's kind of how I got into filmmaking. And yeah, again, thank you for having us on.
Not a problem. Yeah, so if I may say real quick, so I went to Stafford for digital art. but I never got a chance to go back for a second year because of credit. So if I went back to Stafford, that means I wouldn't have been able to graduate on the year where I'm supposed to because of the quote credit. But anyway, so I didn't really have a chance to do like, what do they call it? Video media to learn more of like video editing, shooting, stuff like that. So like, So everything that anybody sees for Haunted Vermont has really just been taught by myself. Like, that's just me playing around. And, well, I mean, if I like it, then I guess that's just what you're going to get. But, I mean, I do listen to
that's the best people. Way to learn filmmaking, in my opinion. Just learning different technology stuff. You don't necessarily need a degree of any sort, just kind of teaching yourself over time. That's kind of what I did. The school I went to was not a film school, because I only figured out later on that I wanted to be in film, so I had to kind of teach myself everything. That's probably like half the fun, I'm sure, for you.
Teaching
yourself how to get into this and trying out new technology and everything.
Well, not just that, but I also used to help another local filmmaker, and so I kind of got to learn more that way too, with learning with different people, I guess, on top of, you know, trying out my own stuff, see what works, what doesn't work. Like, I remember what was it in 2012, so that was like Windows Movie Maker, so that was what I was using. So that's where I started, and right now I use Wondershare Filmora, I think. I forget how you pronounce it. But yeah, it's not a bad program. It's, nice. You know, it does what I need anyway. I mean, until I get the confidence that I need, and then maybe I'll step up to the big games of like special effects or whatever. But right now I'm good. But yeah, I have. So we just talked. You just mentioned you were writing like comics and stuff like that, which is hilarious because I've written two B-rated cheesy comics with two buddies of mine, and I myself have made about four cheesy short horror films based around Vermont, except for one. So one was like a cheesy like pumpkin film where we just kind of took a pumpkin that we bought and just turned it into a short little 3-minute flick. So yeah, I mean, all on YouTube for free, so people can see my creative weirdness. But three of the short films that we made were based off of like some of the legends that you hear around Vermont. Like Terror Trail 1 and 2 is basically based on the Glastonbury Mountains.
I love the Glastonbury Mountains. I love that whole thing.
Yeah, the Bennington Triangle stuff.
Yes, yes.
Then you would probably like our Terror Trail. And then our first ever one that we did, we based it off the lady in white from the Marble Street ghost story from West Rutland, and the what do they call it? The West Rutland Boardwalk Marsh right there, where supposedly you hear ghostly voices through the swamp at night. So that's what we kind of took and put it together.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
But yeah, anyway, it's not about me. I just wanted to throw it out there because it was interesting.
She's shaking her head. She's like, no, I want nothing to do with it. No. She's like, no, I do not want to go to Haunted Rutland. No, thank you.
Thanks. Austin, I didn't know you were homeschooled. That's cool.
I also did not know you were homeschooled, Austin.
How dare you, Austin?
No, homeschooling is pretty nice. Positives and negatives, but while I didn't get a more traditional formal set in to like learn like the more intricate like math and sciences, learning at home was able to give my sister and I more freedom to do things. My sister was able to spend her extra time painting, is right now a very talented artist, and I was able to work on more story-based stuff and do little plays and acting and stuff. But and I never, growing up, we lived in a house that was also supposedly a little haunted. It was the town story that our house had the person who lived there and died there now roams the house, but I never saw anything there. So I've never really been someone that was really into ghost stuff. I kind of respect people's opinions. Some people believe in ghosts, some don't. Until recently when we filmed my film, The Red Raven's Kiss, with Mia Candice and a bunch of cool actors and crew members at Wilson Castle, which is known as the most supernatural based either castle in North America or location in Vermont. It might be both.
Well, I don't know, Paul. Castle.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, we got to film at Wilson Castle, which is a beautiful location in Rutland, for around 5 or 6 days, I think it was. And one of the days we got to stay overnight.
Proctor.
Yeah, it's close enough to Rutland. Proctor. It's 2 minutes.
I wasn't going to correct you because you're the director, but yes, it was definitely
Proctor. Okay, Proctor. Okay, Proctor. The Wilson Castle and Proctor, not Rutland. Both, I never had any experiences there, but hearing everything that happened with the rest of my crew and cast, specifically who I made sure to have on the podcast with us today, Candice and Mia. Mia, definitely not a fan of the supernatural. Both had experiences. Well, I kind of wussed out the day that we got to sleep over because we got to film the next day there. I asked for the least haunted room in the castle, and that's where I slept. But, because I'm a wuss.
Dude, I didn't even go. That's how much of a wuss I was. Lewis and I just peaced out. Like, we were not sleeping over in that castle, and everyone else did.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the presence, the spectral presence that was there liked you for some reason, Mia. And you were like, dudes, like, please stop. So I thought it was a little comical that they were like,
how do you know that?
How do I know what?
The spectral presence liked me?
Well, yeah, I'm assuming that's like what you're going to talk about. Like, you're going to talk about like your story about like what happened to you, right? Like in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's the only one I've got. Yeah.
Yeah. So like they weren't like, no one was poking fun at me. I think they were playing a trick on you. That's what I think was happening. And I'm not talking about like the people in the cast. I'm talking about whoever, you know, whatever presence is there. So I don't want to steal your thunder because I think your story is a great story. But yeah.
Okay.
I think it is.
Well, Candice, real quick, let's go to you for a minute. So you're the casting director. So explain how did you meet Austin to become like the casting director to help out with this? Because obviously not only were you a casting director, but you also were an actress. And I forget who it was that you're playing as, but you are playing as somebody.
Yes.
Also did some special effects makeup for us.
I did do some special effects makeup on a pinch. So, like, she's a jack of all trades, master of none. How did they meet Austin? Austin, I think you put a post up on, like, the VPC, and he was like, hey, you know, I'm looking for help with this. And I was like, dude, like, I know a ton of actors in the area. Like, I can help you cast this. I feel pretty confident that I can help you cast this. And we got, you know, like a few submissions. Austin was actually working on his end as well. Cause of course he knows, I think, more people down south and I know more people up north. So we, you know, combined our forces and we were able to get what I think is a really great cast. So the thing on my end was that I am, I'm a little more seasoned. I'm a little more aged than, most of the people in the cast. So, I fit into the Evelyn Decker archetype, I guess is what you will. I was, you know, just a little bit older. And so I was like, you know what? I'm not getting anybody who's like auditioning for this part. Like, I'll just throw my name in just to like have something to fall back on. And I had my fiance and my son videotape my audition. And I was like, here you go. And my theater's in the background. So I was like, it's going to be too big and too grandiose for him. Like, he's going to be like, it's a little much. And he was like, I love it. You're in. And I was like, okay, cool. And I was super excited. So, yeah. Awesome. So that's how that happened.
I feel like Evelyn was pretty grandiose, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had a backstory for her. That's like what I normally do when I do like any of my acting stuff. But yeah, so like I said, my background's in theater, which has a tendency, you know, you want to act for the balcony and the back row. So there was definitely a couple of times where Austin had to be like, hey, like, you're loud. You need to like bring it down a little bit. I was like, okay.
Yeah, we were able to work together to get a really cool cast and crew together, kind of sort of last minute, because this movie came together all within a couple weeks. This movie, The Red Raven's Kiss, which is my slasher murder mystery story, inspired by Italian horror films of the 70s and 80s. This has been a feature film that I've been trying to get off the ground for a little bit. I need to finish the feature film script and then see what happens after that. But in a last minute, just point of inspiration, I just had the idea of, hey, let's just see if I can get the castle. It seems like a cool location. I wanted a gothic horror base location to fit, and that location, which is this cool old red brick castle, it fitted so well. But it was something that I wanted to film in October for Halloween and maybe submit it to a couple horror-based film festivals during that time. So Candace and I had to... I was not even in the United States. I was in Peru with my wife.
I forgot about that.
So we couldn't even meet in person or anything like that. So it was all just people sent in you and then sent in me video auditions. But yet, even though we really put things together last minute, I was very happy with the cast members we got, which is a combination of people with theater backgrounds and film backgrounds. Candace, you have more of a theater background, and Mia has more of a film background. But did you guys, Candace, did you want to talk about maybe your experience at the castle? Because while we're doing a whole bunch of filming in and I'm running around crazy, setting different shots up and everything, you were trying to, I asked you and you said it was okay that you tried to make a podcast of your own of interviewing different people kind of behind the scenes when you were on set.
Yeah.
And you got some cool, perhaps ghostal interference
outside
of what happened the night that we stayed there, which you talked about.
Yeah. So there was a couple of things that happened, and I have gone back and I've listened to what little audio I was able to pick up. So to put you in the loop here, Paul, basically what happened was I brought my podcasting equipment and a microphone, and a bunch of us went up to the, I guess it would be the third level. We went up to the third level. So I don't think technically that was the attic, but it was like, clearly it used to be like the servants' quarters, I think, up there. And from what we were told, it was one of the highest, like most haunted areas was that level. So we went up and we kind of just like listened to see if we could hear anything. We kind of just talked amongst ourselves, had a nice little bonding moment, but also like asked some questions of the house or, you know, the presence that was there, the ghosts, if you will, that was there. And I did get, and I went back and I listened to it. There's definitely like something on there. I can't make it out. So I don't know if it's something that's trying to say, someone's trying to say something, but it definitely was like something that wouldn't be like a normal creek or anything like a normal creek or anything like that. So, so that was pretty exciting that I actually caught that. But we talked for 2 hours. Like, I had my equipment on for 2 hours. And I went back to listen to it, and it cut off just after that sound. And actually, if I remember correctly, I had asked somebody, I know what happened. Gabby started talking about, and she even said to me, because I told everybody, like, hey, I'm just going to record the whole way. You just say what you don't want in the podcast. I will edit it out. But I'm going to keep recording just so that, like, I don't lose anything. Because I can always edit. As you well know, you can always edit around.
Right.
And she specifically said, she started talking about something kind of personal. And she said, I don't want you to put this in the podcast, but, like, I'm going to tell you guys. And at that moment, that was the last thing that we heard. And I didn't touch it. Like, I had, where I had the equipment and where I had it, it would have been very difficult for me to stop. And the batteries in that device were brand new. There was no reason for anything to, you know, basically flub. It's brand new equipment. There was no reason. I've never had an issue with this equipment before. So we had come to the conclusion, the consensus, that it had to have been like one of these ghosts was being very sensitive to Gabby and what she was sharing, and wanted to make sure that she was not on record, because maybe they just didn't trust me. I think I'm very trustworthy ghost. But hey, you know, that's okay. I understand. But I thought it was very sweet that they were trying to protect her.
In that room up there, there's a shrine to the kids, because that was like the kids' room or something. So maybe it was one of the kids just.
Yeah. It's actually funny that you say that, because it wasn't in that room, but it was in the room just adjacent to that room. So it would have opened right up into that room. So it's very possible. By the way, that room was a little creepy, because that was the one with the casket. That was the room I had a hard time being in at night. I was like, I don't want to be here. That's very interesting. Gabby definitely kind of like, I remembered her the next morning. She had said, she was like, you know what? I feel better. Like, I feel, you know, I just feel like they're okay with us being here. So she clearly was touched in some way. Although I don't think, you know, I think she had like maybe one little thing happened to her, like some light had moved or something like that. You'd have to ask her about that. But she had like more of this feeling. And I do think Gabby's very like open to that. So that was really nice to sort of get that affirmation. But the other thing that happened to me, which is the most fun, I slept in the room with the black dress, Paul. Now, my understanding is that this room is not the most haunted. However, there is, you know, some stuff that happens in there. So me being just a little bit of a chicken that I am, I slept with the door open with my head basically right in the doorway, because I was like, if there's going to be like some, you know, tricky thing, some tricksy little things that are going to be trying to happen to me, I want to be able to like backwards roll right out of there and be like, hey, thank you, no thank you. Also, one of the main reasons why I was over there is because they had a cord, so I was able to plug in my heating pad, because it was very, very cold, so I was able to plug in my heating pad so I stayed warm in my sleeping bag.
It was so cold.
Well, one of the things that I made sure to do was I went over, there's a phone, there's a very cool old antique phone. And I checked the phone to see if it had a dial tone. It did not. So I was like, okay, cool. I can go ahead and unplug this. I don't really need to worry about it, because for whatever reason it was plugged in. I don't know why. So wouldn't you know, I'm sleeping and in the middle of the night, there's a phone ring, and it's clearly that phone. So I wait to see if there's a second ring that happens. It doesn't. It just rings the one time. So I'm like, I must have forgotten to unplug it. It probably was just like a little glitch of the matrix or whatever. So I wake up the next morning and the phone's not plugged in. I check the ringtone again. There's no ringtone. So I ask everybody else, I'm like, did you guys hear the ring in the middle of the night? And, you know, no, everybody's like, no, didn't hear it. You know, Austin was in a room. He had his door closed. He was like, no, I'm not going to be here with anybody else. So, you know, he had his door closed and it didn't wake anybody else up. So I told, is it Denise? Is Denise the gal that you're talking to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I told Wilson Denise, I was like, owner, Denise.
Yeah. Yeah. So I told Denise, I was like, hey, so something weird happened with the phone. And she's like, that phone hasn't worked in 15 years.
Oh my God. Ugh.
And yet here you are with a smile on your face. That's how brave you are. I don't know if I could live through that experience.
No. And then I was like super stoked, because I was like, okay, you know, I mean, I like sort of being touched by the other side. That sounded weird, but you know what I mean.
Careful what you wish for.
I know. So, well, and I feel like, so one of the things that I try to be like, because I try to be really respectful. And so like, I made sure when I went to bed that night, I was like, hey, if I'm invading your space, if this is like a protective space, like, please let me, you know, please let me know. I don't have to sleep here. I can literally sleep anywhere else in this house. I definitely think that there were some ghosts in that house who were just like jokesters. And if I remember correctly, Denise had told us that, what was it, her father? Was it her father that was a little bit of a trickster?
It was the father, or there was like someone that worked there.
Yeah, there was definitely a male presence in the house that was a bit of a trickster. And so I was like, it wouldn't shock me if that was the person. But I also know that that was the room that I was in, which I lovingly call the peacock room. I'm sure that's not what it's called, but there was all this peacock stuff in there. So I lovingly called it the peacock room. And I think that it might have been the mom who actually stayed in that room, which I think is Denise's mother, I believe, was the one who was like trying to be like, hello, you know, what are you doing? So, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's fair enough. Well, I guess I will say, so the room that you're talking about, for just in case people that don't know Wilson Castle, you're talking about the one on the second floor where it's all like nicely done, where it's almost like there's like a fantastic mirror on one side, and then it kind of splits into a, I don't know what you want to call it, I'm just going to call it like a half bathroom, and then it kind of goes into the other bedroom.
Yes.
Green turquoise one.
Correct.
Yeah. And it's got the black dress.
Yep. I just know that that can be one of the rooms that the black dress can be in. Otherwise, when it's not in that room, it's actually up in the closet in the third area. So I know that. And I'm just wondering, huh?
That closet is Austin's favorite place in the entire castle.
Oh, yeah. So what Mia is referring to was my horrible experience. It wasn't that bad because I didn't have any ghost presence. The whole time I was making sure anytime we filmed the location to ask permission of the ghost, being like, hey, we're just here to do something. We're going to leave. We're being respectful of your space. Please don't interfere with us. More like just don't touch me or anything like that. But there was one night that me and I were filming. Remember that, Mia, when you were walking, your character is basically up on the top floor, pitch black, there's no electricity up there, and you're looking for someone, and I'm basically up there to kind of like make creaky noises by having like doors swing open and stuff like that. So I had to be like hiding in the dark, waiting for Mia to come into the space, filming with her phone as we did it, and I was just stuck in the dark, just praying, please don't touch me, please leave me be, just let us do this so I can get out. Actively sweating, although it's very cold up there.
You're talking to third floor, right? Yeah.
Yeah, third floor. The third floor, which no electricity, nothing's there.
Well,
I was in the dark for a very long time. 2 a.m. too. Casual 2 a.m.
Just whatever. Casual 2 a.m.
Yeah. Well, that also used to be the floor where they used to do like the DJs in that one great big room, the ballroom, I think. Ooh. I think that's what Denise called it. So,
yep, the ballroom.
Yeah, that's and, where I was. That's where you were hiding. Yeah, I haven't been there in a while. I remember the last time I was up at the third floor, it was definitely the attic when we were filming like a small little short film, but. And yeah, that was an interesting night too. But yeah, anyway, so real quick, Mia, you know, what's your story? So you became the actress. So did Candace find you, or did Austin, or how did you get into it?
Austin reached out to me via backstage, probably because, you know, I live pretty close to the Wilson Castle, so that was just, you know, what is that word? Synchronistic or whatever. But yeah, and I actually don't use backstage anymore. So I did a little, is that a cat? What is that?
Yeah, this is my black cat named Ryder.
Hi, Ryder.
He always had to be with me when I'm in what I call the office. So,
oh, I like
he's
that.
Looking at you so lovingly. He's just so like looking up like, hi.
Yeah, he wanted me to headbutt him, but kind of looking at him like, go to sleep for a minute. Well,
I have a parrot behind me that I'm trying to block out of the video with my body, but I can hear him starting to laugh whenever Candace is laughing. So like, if you hear someone cackling behind me, it's my animal. It's not a
bird, not a ghost. Got it. Not a ghost.
Okay. Right. Anyway, so Austin reached out on Backstage. I don't use Backstage anymore, so I couldn't message him back. And I just full on, social media stalked him. I think I found him on Instagram or something. And I was like, yes, it was Instagram. Okay. Yeah. So I was like, yes, I would love to, you know, submit a self tape. Here's my information. Let me just like send me sides and I will. And we just exchanged emails. And yeah, it was pretty run of the mill as far as that, you know, minus the stalking on my part. But yeah, it was good. There's a cat. It's so cute.
It is very distracting, I must admit.
So distracting. Is that the headbutt?
That was the headbutt, and he just hit me on the nose. So.
Oh, I can relate.
The birds. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The bird.
On the nose all the time. It's like her thing.
I get that on the nose constantly.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. So the. I guess my ghost story, is that okay if I tell it now, or do you have more questions?
No, you answered what I wanted to know. I just wanted to know how you got involved with the project. That's all. So yeah. So what is your ghost story? Because even though I kind of read a little bit, but I'd like to hear your side.
That was pretty much all of it. I was, I tried to, because we were in this little room, basically. In holding, oh my lord, that cat. We were all in this little room in holding. And I'm very much an introvert. So I try to, you know, if everyone's like watching, you know, someone get fake blood poured on them, maybe I'll kind of sneak away and have holding to myself because there's a fire in there and it's nice and calm and peaceful. So I was just in holding. Actually, no, I was in holding and then everyone else came in holding. And, you know, like the members of the cast, like we just kind of mess around with each other. Like, there's what, like five other people or six or seven, there's a lot of other people, but we just had a really good banter going on. And, like Neil would, you know, want to play pranks and shoot reels all the time. Neil plays Sean. And so anyway, there were a lot of people actually in holding while this happened, but I was trying to have a moment, sit down, read my sides. I did not move at all. I wasn't talking. I was just, you know, I was reading, I was trying to go over my lines for what was going to be shot next. And all of a sudden I hear something, I feel something just bop me on the head, you know, pretty, pretty hard. And my whole neck, like crooked my neck and it messed my neck up for weeks. And I stood up and I looked around and I was like, who threw that? Which one of you threw that? Why did you do that? I was trying to have a moment. And so I started accusing people. Like it was such a physical thing that I felt on my head that I started accusing people. I thought Neil threw something at me and apparently no one did it. And I think we found out, maybe Candace, it was you who told me that Denise said that in the kitchen there, it's the colonel?
Yes.
Is that? Okay. Yes. Yeah, I don't know anything more than that, but it's the colonel, apparently. So the colonel, it didn't feel like niceness. It felt like that really hurt for weeks after.
Now, Mia, do you think that you did anything specific to anger them, or is it just a mean prank went wrong?
Jeez, I don't know. They could have felt my negative energy and just why it was like this colonel was just like, I've freaking had it with this girl. She's sassy. She's being mean to people at 2 a.m. She's walking around my bedroom at 2 a.m. Yeah.
That's true. We did stay in their house, in their space, pretty late, so I'm sure they want to get rid of us. But yeah. That's not the way to do it.
Yeah.
Slap my actresses. Like,
yeah, Gabby gets, you know, the tender, loving care that she needs, and I get bopped on the head. My neck.
They're like, swack! What
yeah.
are you doing?
yeah. So maybe, that's my story.
maybe just the fact that they whoever it was, only allowed certain people back there. So maybe you were like invading that, like, oh, you shouldn't be back here. What? So, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say them. Yeah. Inappropriate.
But it was our common area, though. It was in the back of the castle. There's a kitchen area that's warm, which is where everyone would stay because we filmed in October, November. So it was quite cold in that castle. But yeah, I think, yeah, Candace, can you tell us, so the colonel that Mia's talking about, that's the prankster that you learned about from Denise?
Yeah, so Denise was telling me, and I believe that's her father. Like, I think the colonel was her father. Now, I could have that wrong. Denise, forgive me if I have that wrong. But he is definitely related to Denise, either, like, through her father or, like, it is her father. And yeah, she said he was a huge prankster. She said, especially once he retired from the military, he was constantly like playing tricks, and he liked to do, I guess they're called jump scares now. You know, where he would be like, bleh, and you know, people would be like, ah. And I don't know, and I'm not recalling any like things that she said. Oh, because there was Mia, didn't you think someone was like pulling your hair at one point? You were like, maybe. Why is someone pulling your hair? I feel like maybe. I remember. And
Denise, it all out.
Yeah. And Denise had said like, that was something that he would do. Like he would go behind and he would be like, yoink. So the girls would go like that. And he'd be like, he'd just walk behind and go, yeah. And then like, you know, there, I'm saying like that, this is a podcast. So to clarify for the audience, what he would do is basically yoink. That is a very technical term. He would yoink on the hair that was cascading down the back of a female's back. And it would cause her to sort of like have basically a whiplash moment. And
maybe
so,
that's what happened.
So maybe
I have very curly hair. He could have been like, wow, curls.
Yeah. So, I feel like I remember Denise telling me that. Denise, like, call me and like confirm that, because I'm wondering if I'm remembering that correctly. But I know for a fact she said the colonel was very much a prankster, and that he would do things that people would be like, just sort of looking over their shoulder all the time. So,
oh my lord.
Sorry, keep going, Paul.
Oh, I'm just gonna say. So, I know Mia's not the but the only one that really didn't stay overnight. So, for Candace and you, Austin, so you guys were sweeping up in the, well, except for Candace, she was probably second floor. But Candace, real quick, were you ever up in a room sweeping, or any time like up during filming up in the third room at all, or third area?
Yeah. So that's where I did a lot of my audio recording, was in the third level.
Okay.
So yeah, I was definitely up there. And I believe the place where I got the most, like I got the sound that was, it wasn't the same as all the other sounds, and it definitely wasn't anyone that like was there, and it wasn't like a normal creak of the house or anything like that, was in the circular, I don't know what that room is called, the circular room over,
yeah, the where tower room.
The tower room, yeah. I think there was a carriage in there, like a baby carriage in there.
Yeah.
So, and then I talked to Denise about that the next day. So that's not where my equipment turned off. My equipment turned off in the room adjacent to the room where the coffin and the children's shrine is. So not the room with the bedroom, but like the room that's almost like, it's almost like a tiny little sort of hallway, or like an open, I don't know. It's like that open area.
Right by the stairs.
Yeah. So, that was where my equipment turned off. I remember very specifically, I don't remember that's where the equipment turned off clearly, but I remember that that was where we were standing when Gabby very clearly was like, hey, don't put this on the podcast. You know, so I remember that very distinctly because I wanted to make sure that I made a mental note, you know, even though she had already said it, I wanted to make sure I had a mental note so that I would, you know, honor her wishes.
Well, the reason why I bring it up again, just for clarification too, is because, so while you guys were filming, and maybe Mia was part of it too, but so depending on how how late were you guys up, like were you filming up there per se, like was it like kind of late or was it not too late? I know where I'm going with it. Are you serious? 4 a.m.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Up in the third area. Okay, so
yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, so all three of you will take this question then. So at any point in time when you guys were filming up in that third area, did you feel like you were being watched from afar?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right.
Yeah, I was always uneasy up there. I made sure to ask permission from people that weren't there, or maybe were there a lot.
They were there. Don't you negate the spirits, Austin.
Or else they'll smack me.
Uneasy is an understatement. The way that he ran out of that closet to get back down onto the second level, I should have had that filmed.
Yeah. Well, I was glad that we wrapped it up within two takes. I was like, all right, we got it, let's go.
Well, the reason why I ask it, because there was a night where we were up in that area around the attic room, and I don't even remember what time it was. It was us just being in the castle. Andy and Denise were already gone, and I just kept staring into the room across from where we were, which is like the staircase is right there to get to the second floor, and then you got the other room, and then the other side room I want to say to the left. But anyway, like the room that you would enter to where that bedroom would be on the right, you got that big ballroom or whatever, then you got the tower, and then I think the area you're talking about, Candace, with the shrine and stuff. Anyway, I always kept looking at that doorway because I felt like somebody was standing there while we were filming. And I'm like, I don't know if my eyes are playing tricks on me or if there's a shadow person right there. Like, I don't know. I just know that hopefully we're going to be wrapping up soon because I'm done with tonight. So
well, it didn't help that they still have like Halloween like decorations up. I almost crapped my pants because I went into one of the far on the second level there. If you go all the way behind the servant's staircase, I believe there's two like the maid's quarters, right? I believe that's where the maids would have stayed. And they had a giant werewolf, and here I am walking around in the dark, just like poking around, blah 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 blah. And all of a sudden, I see fangs and then glowing eyes, and I'm like, yeah! And like, you know, immediately thank God, like I have the sense of mind to be like, oh, shine a light instead of like scream and run. Also, I think I would have been really upset had I like ruined a take for Austin. I was always trying to be, well, that's not entirely true. My voice carries, but I was trying to be quiet. But yeah. And I just like, I remember being like, oh, okay, it's good. And it didn't help that Neil, Ian were like constantly trying to play pranks on us. We found like a side space where they had like most of the haunted, like the old haunted house stuff that they had kind of like shoved into this backspace, and they're trying to hide behind like these skeletons and scratch on the wall to freak us out, and we're like, guys, come on, like come on, stop, guys, come on, guys, come on.
It's a real Cougars on set.
I mean, we had a lot of fun on set. At least I did. I had a ton of fun. So, and I like being scared. Like I love haunted houses. So like that, that kind of just is my jam. It's probably one of the main reasons when Austin was like, hey, yeah, sure. Let's definitely have you be a part of this movie. Oh, by the way, we are filming in this, you know, haunted castle. And I was like, oh, man!
Then I think you would like working with us too then, Candace, because we go to the actual haunted location sometimes, so to film.
I want to go to Glastonbury, like, in the worst way. I really do. I do.
But why? But why? Is that where you wear red and you disappear? Is that the one?
That's the Bennington Triangle, but Glastonbury is the abandoned town. Like, that's like, is it, how far of a hike is it? It's what, like a mile, mile and a half? Or is it more than that?
For what, the abandoned town?
To get, yeah, down into, like, Glastonbury town, like the abandoned town.
Yeah, it's like a mile, 2 miles.
Yeah. So I really want to see that. Like, that I'm, like, very intrigued about. And I think, like, I mean, all of the buildings, from what I understand, are still there. You know, I'm sure they've been ravaged somewhat by time. But, like, there's still, like, structures there that you can go and look at and, you know, supposedly people have disappeared in the Bennington Triangle. Paul, I've done a podcast about the Bennington Triangle. That is horrifying. I might not actually go hiking wearing red in the Bennington Triangle, but I, you know, if we were going like with a crew or something like that down to Glastonbury, I'm too scared to go by myself. I definitely, so Paul, if you're offering, I will totally go and check out Glastonbury with you. That'd be awesome.
Well, I've already done it. I've already wore red in there. So,
and you're still with us.
And I'm still with us. So, I mean, I don't. Maybe that's a fluke. So, you know, we don't know the whole story that went on with Paula Weldon. So,
that's true. That's right.
But there's a lot of weird cases that have come out of that area. So, I mean, just real quick, I forgot the guy's name, but he just disappeared by being on a bus.
Right. He was a veteran. He was actually traveling from St. Albans down to Bennington. And
visiting family.
He was visiting family. We believe, it doesn't say this in the research, but I believe that he was actually visiting family in St. Albans for the Thanksgiving weekend, because the day that he disappeared would have been exactly 1 week after Thanksgiving that year.
Yeah. And we can't forget that Hunter that supposedly got squeezed to death.
Oh, okay. That's news to me. There's also the child who, and the child was the one that was wearing red. And he was left in his mom's truck while she went and she fed some pigs or helped out at a farm. And he just like disappeared. Like they couldn't find him. He just was gone.
So I dug up newspapers articles for this, man. I feel like you and I need to like get together for a podcast on this.
Definitely.
Anyway, so I dug up some old newspaper articles on this. At no point in time did it ever mention he was wearing red. He was wearing like blue stuff.
Was he? Oh, okay. Because originally I thought it was the college student that was wearing the red, but then
she was.
So it was her. Okay. Then the information I must have been mistaken, because I thought it was the little boy was wearing red.
A lot of people think that Paula and Paul Jepson wore red when it was just Paula Weldon. And just for the record for everybody, for Paula Weldon, for anybody that thinks that Candace and I are making this up about this college student, no, we're not. You can actually go to the Vermont State Police, and her missing case is still right there on the website. Unsolved to this day, cold case.
Yep.
What year was that?
December 1st, 1948, somewhere around that neighborhood.
Is that the area that has, like, a man-eating rock or whatever, a boulder that eats people?
That's the Glastonbury Mountain, yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Which is what our first terror trail is based off of.
Nice.
The man-eating rock. We wanted to make it cheesy, so we made it cheesy.
Just idea of it so cheesy, just like a giant boulder that can't move, but somehow it eats people.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like a Disney movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was five disappearances in like less than 10 years. So that's kind of what Paul and I are sort of talking about is I think we mentioned four of the five. There was the hunter, there was the gal, there was the older gal who just like went missing. She had gone for a stroll with like her cousin, and then her cousin was like, "Yeah, I'll go," and then all of a sudden she went missing. The hunter,
she's not the one that I'm trying to remember the story, or I'm getting it confused with another story, but I think she's the one that went on Hell's, what is that trail called? Hell's something at Quastonbury. And I think she wanted to scout ahead. So she did. And then that's how she ended up vanishing.
So no, I'm talking about the gal who was injured. She like tripped and slipped or something like that. She was older. And she went back to their camp to like, just like clean up and like, and she was going to meet him. He was ahead.
Oh, okay.
And then, so she went, and I, mind you, we're talking about this and I'm going completely out of order. I believe she was the last one to go missing. But the reason why the, what was her name? Pamela, Paula, right?
Paula Weldon, you mean?
Paula Weldon was kind of the most famous is because her parents were fairly well off and she was going, if I'm not mistaken, to Bennington College at the time, right?
Not just that, but her disappearance was so far stretched, it brought people from New Hampshire, and it also was the reason why the Vermont State Police were formed.
Yeah. Oh, well, and I believe if I'm also not mistaken, there was like, they actually, because this happened, you know, I think in the, like you said, like winter. In the 40s or the 50s. So that was the other thing that was really weird about this is it was abnormally warm that day. And when she went, she wasn't wearing very much. And like the temperature dropped like 30 degrees. So it was like a balmy 50 and then it dropped to like below 20 or something like that. So yeah, they like, that was, anyway, I'm sorry. I digress. We're kind of getting off topic. Sorry about that.
Squeezed to death. Is that what you said?
Yes. Squeezed to death.
Like flat.
Like, there was no bruising, there was no markings of a struggle at all. Like, she just, it was just clarified that she was just squeezed to death, according to the newspaper article.
It was aliens.
It was totally aliens. There's
so many theories, Mia. If you want to not sleep for, like, 6 months.
No, I like sleep. I want to sleep.
Sleep is good.
Yes, it is. Well, so real quick, if anybody's wondering what Candace and I are talking about with the whole Bennington Triangle aspect, just look at it as it's like the Bridgewater Triangle, which it goes on in Massachusetts. Just look that up. That's even more weird. So, yeah. But anyway, to get back into the conversation story, for, I guess you could say, closing comments in a way. So, Mia, you know, with your experience and stuff, with you, I don't know, got punched in the head or something. I don't know what happened there. I guess, how do you feel about working with Austin, and would you work with Austin again?
Yeah, I would work with Austin.
Hey, I wouldn't take it personal.
You just have to pay for my,
you guys rounded a haunted house to like near 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Perfect.
For
yeah.
Sure.
And so Candace, I mean, it sounds like you had a blast. It sounds like you would work with Austin again.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Austin was great. Not only was Austin great, like, as far as, like, just putting me in a situation where I had a ton of fun. Because literally the first scene that I had to film was a special effects scene where I had to die. And it was very dramatic and very tragic. And he was, like, I thought he gave really great direction. But additionally, like, he even, like, stood off to the side to make sure that I had something to emote to. So, and I thought he gave great direction, but he was also super like, sensitive because like, if we were struggling with something, or if we were like, Like, I brought my cot with me, and I was like, Austin, I'm literally going to be over here for like 20 minutes. If you don't think like my scene is going to be for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to be over here just so I can like catch a few Z's, and then I will be right as rain. And he was like totally sensitive to that, and even sensitive to, you know, like he would even, one of the things I loved, Austin, was that you like, were also super flexible. If someone was like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm not comfortable like wearing the mask. Remember that big zippery mask? I'm not comfortable wearing the mask. He would just be like, all right, you want to wear the mask? And I'd be like, yeah, I want to wear the mask. And so, I loved those opportunities. I loved that he was flexible. I loved that he gave great direction. And frankly, he was fun. He was, I had a blast, Austin. I would totally work with you again.
Thank you. And yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thank you guys very much. Yeah. Hope to have you guys in a future project. With working on these small movies, it's important to be flexible. Everyone is working quite hard. We're not working on Hollywood's paycheck or anything. We're just trying to make a big movie on the smallest budget that we can. So working with people and asking people to do a lot of stuff. Because in this movie, because we didn't have a huge crew, we had a decent-sized cast, but not a big crew. A lot of people had different hats. Candace wearing multiple. And then Mia, being our lead actress, was in pretty much every scene. So we needed her there, beginning of the day to the end of the day. So to be a good director, you need to be able to work with people and move things around when need be. And improvisation is important.
Perfect. So Austin, so for your quote and thoughts, which you kind of mentioned a little bit about what the Red Raven's kiss is, but if you were to describe the like a little small synopsis, what would you say?
Yeah. So the Red Raven's kiss, if people are interested in seeing it, we have a Facebook page, and that's where we have pictures and trailers of the movie uploaded there. Our premiere is April 10th. Our doors are open at 5:30. It's at the Essex Cinema. 6 o'clock is the showing, but doors open at 5:30, like I said. This is a free event, so as long as you get here in time, and if there's still seats, anyone is welcome to come see it. And we're not only showing the film we made, which is around 45 minutes long, we're also going to be doing a Q&A after the show, where we're going to be talking about, again, like we talked about in this podcast episode, our supernatural encounters, indie filmmaking, inspirations for the film. And that'll be with a cast and myself. So that's going to be like an hour and a half for our event at the Essex Cinema. And for those who want to stay afterwards, because we had the theater rented for 3 hours, we also are going to be playing a movie that inspired The Red Raven's Kiss, which is Dario Argento's The Bird with the Crystal Plumage. So definitely Vermonters, if you guys are in the area and you want to see an indie film that hopefully maybe one day we'll get into a feature, if people like it enough, April 10th, 6 p.m. Doors open at 5:30 at the Essex Cinema, and it'll be a fun event and free.
Perfect. Real quick, Austin, does anybody want to keep up to date with you or the Red Raven Kiss or any future project? Where can people kind of, you know, find you?
Yeah, sure. So they can go on Facebook and find the movie of The Red Raven's Kiss. It'll pop up as a page, and that is where we post everything about the movie there. Or if you want to learn about me and what I'm doing, I'm on Instagram at Austin Sprake, and I post stuff about the movie there too.
Perfect.
You're Austin Sprake 10.
Yes, at Austin, AUS10, Austin.
It's his birthday.
October?
No. My version of Austin spelled with an E-N, so I play that with Austin. But today, what Mia is saying is today is my birthday, yes.
Oh, gotcha.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Perfect. And so I guess Mia, I don't know if you have, if not, I can cut this out too, but Mia, do you have like a place where like if somebody wanted to reach out to you, if you wanted to, I don't know, star in something, can people reach out to you somewhere?
Yeah, sure. I've got Instagram is Mia Nasavera, and you can find me at that handle. I'm friends with Austin, so they can do some stalking too.
Stalking. Perfect. And Candace, where can people keep up to date with you for your project? Because you mentioned something about a podcast and stuff.
Yeah. So I actually own a marketing and production company called Ready Steady LLC. So you can find us on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. I'm sure I'm missing something. But basically all our handles are the same. It's at Ready Steady VT. And our website is readysteadyvt.com. So you, and if you want to like get involved with casting, if you want to, you can always email me. It is readysteadycasting@gmail.com. So if you're ever interested in figuring out ways where you can get involved in projects around here, please feel free to, you know, just let me know and I'll put you on my happy little list.
Perfect. Well, all right. Well, thank you all so much for your time. I know we kind of spent probably a little bit more than what we were talking about, but that's okay. That's what happens when you get sidetracked and everything else.
Exactly.
That's like our whole cast. We have like 3 extra days of shooting because we can't stop talking.
Sounds like my experience. We have what we call the goofball who doesn't shut up, and then no wonder why it's like, oh, we gotta get this done now. Yep. Which is all fun, because the way I look at it is, if you can't have fun making movies, then what are you doing? So
right,
yeah, it's a good motto.
It is. Well, why not?
You gotta have fun.
Yeah, you gotta have fun. Yeah, because otherwise, who's gonna help you in the end?
Exactly. And I feel like we had fun, even though it was a little cold. We stayed up late, and we had some ghosts popping up here and there. But I definitely had fun with these guys.
I mean, you guys survived. Dun, dun, true. Dun.
Wow. We did survive.
All right. Well, with that note, I will thank everybody again, Austin, Candace, and Mia for their time. And I will have probably stuff in the description below for this episode. So if you are interested with everything that we were talking about, I will do my best to do that. And if it's not there, then somebody can yell at me and I will do it. But until next time, everybody, remember, be careful what you might find, because you just might have a goal.